And Lord, we give you all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. This message is simply entitled, Prepare for Battle. Right now, in this church, in this world, in this place, is a crucial time. We see men go to war, to Iraq and these other places, to fight for what? For freedom, for whatever reasons that we go to war, it's for freedom. But there's a different type of battle that is happening right now in this day and age. God's morals, God's standard, God's ways are quickly being overthrown and taken out and removed. The church has lost its place. The church has lost its place of authority. The light is being hid. And left and right, there is a battle going on, and Satan is quickly coming in. So as children of God, as Christians, we must know that we are in battle. You see, the problem with the world today is we think that everything is okay. I want to let you know that right now, the devil is after each and every one of you. He will take God out of your life. He'll take God out of your home. He'll take God out of your heart. He'll take God out of your mind. He'll take God out of your actions, your conduct. He will take God away from you if you will allow him. There used to be a time when there was a problem in the church, it was quickly dealt with. But now you see more and more that everything is tolerable. It's okay to cuss as a Christian. It's okay to drink wine as a Christian. It's okay to do everything as a Christian. It's okay to be just like the world and be a Christian. There's a time when you say some foolish things and to be dealt with quickly. But slowly over the years, slowly over time, people have gotten lax. The church has gotten lax. And we'll find that Jeremiah, as we preached this morning, finds himself in a familiar situation. Time and time again, God's people were exalted. God had brought them to a place of glory, and they would allow themselves to go backward. He'd bring them to a place of prosperity, a place of promise, a place of happiness, but because of their unwillingness to obey, because of their unwillingness to hold to the truth, they will find themselves time and time again in destruction. There was a time when you could not go to church. That if you missed Sunday morning, something was seriously wrong. That if you let the word GD out of your lips, you felt like you were damned to hell. There was a time when such foolishness was not named in the house of God, amen. Jeremiah, the prophet of God, the mouthpiece of God, is sent to a people, that God's own people, that know the ways, that know how they're supposed to act, that know how they're supposed to conduct themselves, that shouldn't even ever let them talk to them. They've been brought out of Egypt. They've crossed the desert sea. They've seen the scorpions. They've seen the manna. These are people that have experienced great things from God, and nevertheless, slowly the enemy crept in and began to twist their ways, pervert their mind, and cause them to go astray. This morning, we are in war. Spiritual warfare and also in the natural. If you don't think that you are in battle right now, if you don't think that right now you're fighting a fight, then I guarantee the enemy's crept in, amen. But this morning, let us read Jeremiah chapter 4 and verse 19 through 22. My bowels, my bowels. I am pained in my very heart. My heart maketh a noise in me. I cannot hold my peace because thou hast heard, O my soul, the sound of the trumpet, the alarm of war. Destruction upon destruction is cried, for the whole land is spoiled. Suddenly my tents are spoiled and my curtains in a moment. How long shall I see the standard and hear the sound of the trumpet? For my people is foolish. They have not known me. They are Scottish children and have none understanding. They are wise to do evil, but to do good they have no knowledge. This is God speaking to his children. This is God giving a cry of pity to his children. Jeremiah is so vexed, so grieved, that his whole being is just as well as on pain in my very heart. God has looked at his children and seen that where he had brought them to is where they'd be going from. God doesn't bring you to a place to see you go back from that place. He doesn't bring you out of the wilderness to see you go back into a pit. He doesn't bring you forward so that you have to go backward. He wants you to stay where he has brought you. But the bottom line is, if you don't hold to God, if you don't hold God's standard, if you allow anything to happen in your midst, you will find yourself in destruction. It only takes a little leaven to leaven the whole lump. Whether you believe it or not, we're in battle. As I said, the enemy has crept in, he's walked in, and now comes in freely. There was a time that we could spot a wolf just like that. Person stand up in church, say something wrong, that ain't the Lord. There was a time when false doctrine couldn't have a place because the children of God knew the Word of God. Last week I was going to bring the Mormon Bible in here, and I was going to read some scriptures to see if you all thought it was the Christian Bible. I doubt many of you would be able to tell the difference. I bring up the book of the Quran. Start reading out of it. Y'all say, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Because you don't know the Word of God. What book comes after Genesis? What book comes after that? In the New Testament, what book comes after John? What comes after Revelation? You see, where's the book of Maccabees in the Bible? Where's it at? You see what I'm getting at? The child of God, if I stood up here and preached any kind of thing, if you don't know the book, how do you know if it's true or false? You see, the children of God, they laid down the oracles. They laid down what they knew was right, and they were embracing every single type of thing that there was. Bible study? Don't need that. Church? Don't need that. Obedience? Don't need that either. And they find themselves destruction upon destruction. We are at war. The devil is trying to kill you. He wants you to have no relationship with God. He wants you to have no church with God. He wants you to have no time for God. And he will quickly, he tries to get a little piece of your time. He's creeping in. Then as soon as he's got a little foothold in your life, he's going to try to take a little bit more. And a little bit more before you know he has free access. You're the devil's servant. When he tells you to sin, you don't question it. You are swift to do it. God says to Jeremiah, my people, in verse 22, it's foolish. They have not known me, and they are Scottish children, meaning they are stupid. They are weaklings. They're easily led astray. And they have none understanding. They are wise through evil. The word wise means crafty. Very inventive. The child of God knows how to do many, many evil things very, very well. You can make a plan to do evil. You can make blueprints say, this is how I'm going to sin. I'm going to go here, I'm going to go here, knock on this door, call this number, go to this place, and do what I'm going to do. And the Lord tells his people through Jeremiah, my people are foolish, they have not known me, they are Scottish children and not have understanding. They are wise to do evil, but good they have no knowledge. Today we must fight, or you'll die lost. We must build up again the walls, which is God's word, God's standard. Everything is not okay with God. Jeremiah, he was so sick that he was sick in his heart. The scripture says that I am pained, my heart maketh a noise. That was God speaking. His very being was just crying out and just sickened because he knew that his children were going to do the same thing they'd always done. God prosper a little. They have a little bit of God's glory. Next thing you know, they're quick to go backwards. And Jeremiah said, destruction upon destruction. For the whole land is spoiled. Suddenly my tents are spoiled and my curtains in a moment. The whole land was in distress. You see, you don't think the whole world is in distress right now? People don't know what to do. People don't know what to think. They don't know what to say. The church is in a mess. You see, there used to be a clear sound when it speaks of the trumpet. The trumpet was a clear sound when the children of God were young in Israel. The war, they had two trumpets. They had one to bring together. They had a noise that was made to cause action. When they heard the trumpet, they knew it was time for war. But now we hear the word of God, and it brings about no action. There's a problem. Amen. Amen. Prophets, priests, ministers. We're to sound the trumpet, the voice of God, but there are too many voices will cause you to do nothing. Amen. At my house, you can ask my wife, I have four alarm clocks. I have four alarm clocks. My alarm is going off left and right, so I get up out of bed to be on work at time. And we live near a fire station on Morse Road. And you'll hear alarms all the time. And when you hear the ambulance, what are you supposed to do? Supposed to get out the way. When you hear a fire alarm, what are you supposed to do? Get out the house. When you hear an alarm clock go off, what are you supposed to do? Wake up. When you hear your cell phone ring, what are you supposed to do? When God gives his word, though, and you're convicted in your heart, what do you do? Nothing. You see, the word of God used to be people would come to church, get instruction, and go out and do what they were commanded. People hear the word of God now. God's voice, his prophet, was an alarm. Jeremiah was saying, destruction upon destruction. Destruction upon destruction is coming. But the people did not hear. They didn't do, there was no action given. And therefore destruction came, amen. You see, in verse 22, it says, my people are foolish. You see, young people, you too are at war. The devil has his hold on many of you right now. He's gotten in your grasp. And if you don't trust the Lord, he'll have you led astray quicker than ants led to sugar. And Jeremiah says in verse 21, how long shall I see the standard and hear the sound of the trumpet? How much longer will there be a Christian example? Right. I want you to ask yourself that. How much longer will there be a Christian example? Is there even one living right now? When's the last time there was a great Christian leader? When's the last time there was something you're like, oh, that brother or sister, he loves the Lord. When's the last time there was someone that stood out from amongst the crowd like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? When was the last time there was a Jeremiah or a John the Baptist or someone that was going to proclaim the word of God without controversy, without wavering? Where is there a Christian example today? There's only one, and his name is Jesus. Everybody else that he has called to give the alarm is quietly keeping quiet. You see, nowadays when we hear ministers, we have to question every single thing they say. Creflo Dollar, Benny Hinn, one of these other big ones, Kenneth Copeland, what is the woman one, what's her name? Joyce Myers. You don't know what their agenda is. You have no idea if they're giving you thus saith the Lord. You have no idea if they're saying, this is the alarm. This is what God wants you to do. This is what you need to do, or destruction is coming. Jeremiah says, how long shall I see the standard? How long will there be those that will just proclaim the word of God? How long?
How long, Lord? How long?
I say that time is over. The church as we know it is over. Either we are called to action, either we are called to war, or we will sit in defeat. The church is losing this battle, as the scriptures do proclaim in the last days. But I don't believe the last days are just yet. I believe there's time for a revival, and there's time for people to be saved once more. But if we can hear God's word, and it brings about no action in your life, something is wrong. If you can hear God's word every single week and it brings about no change, something is wrong. If you hear your alarms going off and it doesn't get you up, either you've heard it so many times that it's become dull and useless, or you just don't care. You know, the cry of hell is the man good old Lazarus' friend, the rich man. Father Abraham, please send Lazarus, please send Moses, one of the prophets, to let them know about this place of torment. You see, the devil's glad that the trumpet's not sound. The devil's glad that you think that it's okay to live any kind of way. The devil's happy when you think that you don't need to know, thus saith the Lord. The devil's happy when the children of God are not caused to go to war. How much longer, I ask, will there be a Christian example? How much longer will a call to righteousness be given? The answer is found in Joel chapter 2 and verse 1. He says, blow the trumpet in Zion, and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand. I don't know about you, but the Lord did say, I'm going to come back when you least think it. Then the Lord said, I'm going to come back when you, in an hour that you think not. When you think he's not coming, when you think that you've got so much time, when you think that you'll get tomorrow for your life, he's going to come back just like that. And he says also, blessed is the servant who, when the master comes, he finds him doing what he's supposed to be doing. But for those that he finds not doing what they're supposed to be doing, he says, I'll make them a part with the transgressors. Jeremiah says, my people are foolish. They have not known me. They are Scottish and have none understanding. They are wise to do evil, but good they have no knowledge. Do we really realize the consequences of our actions?
No.
Do we really think that what we do has no consequence? Do you know that if you make one choice in your life, it can alter your life forever? You know that? One choice in your life can change your life forever. For instance, young ladies, you see a nice young man, y'all get together. That one action can change your life forever. We have to wake up as a church. We have to wake up as a people and realize that our actions have consequences. We either have consequences that bring about life or consequences that bring about death. We can either have the consequence of us doing what God tells us to do and God blessing us because of obedience, or we can have the consequence of hearing God's word every single day, never allowing it to change our life, and end up dead, lost in transgression. We have a choice today. No matter what age you are, the devil's out to get you. He don't care if you don't know how to speak. He'd love to keep you stupid. Don't need to go to school. Watch some more cartoons. We're at war. Does the devil have place in your life? Does the devil have place in your life?
No.
Huh? Does God? Well, how do we prove this to the Lord? How do we show God that he has place in us? Have we yielded our members to service of righteousness? Have we given our hands over to the Lord and said, Lord, this is my body. You are my commander in chief. I'm your vessel. Do with me what you will. Or does the scripture become fulfilled? My people have not known me. They have none have understanding. They are wise to the evil, but good they have no knowledge. You see, the devil wants to get your life. He wants to get your time. He wants to get your testimony. He wants to get your praise. He wants to get everything that you are. And if we are not aware that this is his plan, then I guarantee you he'll win. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and 8 says this, speaking in tongues, but it brings about the perfect example. It says, for if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself for the battle? I believe there's many uncertain sounds.
Amen.
If your life is not led by thus saith the Lord, then you're hearing many different things. Who has the final authority in your life?
God.
Who has the authority right now?
God.
So I challenge you all to ask God, what does he want you to do? Because right now I see, in my own self, you know, I was complaining, not really complaining, but I seen some bad kids. I'm telling you, we were babysitting some bad kids. And I have a tolerance level, but these were some bad kids. And I'm thinking, oh my goodness, I don't know what this parent is thinking. Kids just screaming and it was yelling, Daddy! And because that, and let me tell you how powerful this is. Because that behavior was tolerated, the other sibling joined in. Mommy! And don't you know, my son attempted to pick up that same attitude of whining and say, wacky. But because of the choice of allowing one to act so foolish, the other will act so foolish. What I'm trying to tell you this morning is I was complaining because these are bad kids. Just because they were bad. But, and I was telling my wife, I said, you know, we see bad children, but we have an opportunity to influence their life, to cause them to go the right way. If we allow them to go like they're going, destruction
Amen.
Is going to happen. We must learn obedience.
That's right.
We must learn obedience.
Amen.
God will allow you to get beaten up every day of your life until he breaks you to where you will obey him so that he doesn't have to beat you anymore.
Amen.
So God had to do this with his children because he loved them. Remember in Hebrews he said, what type of child gets no chastisement is like a bastard. So God will bring his children into a place of destruction, to a place where everything they had was brought down so that he can teach them that obedience is more blessed. Obedience is more blessed than disobedience.
Amen.
Not a one of you will get anywhere by being disobedient to God.
That's right.
Not a one of you. Not a one of you will make it one step further if you are disobedient to God. That's the first step. You see, when I was growing up, I stayed with my dad for a little while. He had one rule. What was that rule, Mr. Wallace? I'm sure you remember it.
Obey you stay, disobey be on your way.
Obey you stay, disobey be on your way. One rule. Obey you stay, disobey be on your way. God, if that's what my earthly father demanded, let's hope that God Almighty, his commandment is obey you stay, disobey be on your way. Be on your way to destruction. Be on your way to captivity. Be on your way to death and not life. God would send reminders. He would send the prophets. He would have them crying so that the children of God might hear our alarm and be called to action. If we can hear the word of God, and if we are a transgression to it, yet are not convicted by it, then we need to reset our alarm. They'd hear the trumpet, and immediately they'd be called to war. So when you hear the trumpet, I want you all to stand up and be prepared for battle. You don't know when the trumpet's going to sound.
Praise
the
Lord.
The trumpet sounds, y'all still standing, sitting. When you hear the trumpet sound, you must be prepared for war. The trumpet's going to sound one more time. Let's see if y'all are prepared for war. You don't know when it's going to happen. But right now, I tell you, God in heaven is saying, church, get up. Church, go to war. Church, preach the gospel. Because when the gospel is not preached, when people are not told that Jesus saved, there's another gospel being preached. Satan's got preachers saying, you don't have to be saved. God loves you just the way you are. You're a good person. Go to the club. Drink some booze. Go get some ladies. It's okay. Everything's okay. You just live your life how you want to live it. That's the gospel that's being preached today. What you saying? What you telling me I'm supposed to do? Preach the gospel. God's love, the word agape, brings about the idea of moral love. That you love people in such a way that you are willing to correct them if they become immoral. If you love me, keep my commandments. What were his commandments? That you love the Lord thy God with all of your heart, soul, strength, and spirit. And that you love the Lord thy God. That you love your neighbor as you love yourself. You see, church, there's no clear sound. You ask a minister nowadays about, you ask a minister, are homosexual people saved? You say, well, what you got to understand is that you see you see what I'm talking about, because this is how it is. There's no clear sound.
Amen.
There's no clear sound. Is it okay for Christians to mingle in with the world and to do as the world does? Well, preacher, what you got to understand is, there are things that, God is a God of love, and, this is what you get from, preachers. You turn on TVN or these Christian networks, you don't hear a clear sound. You hear chatter. Well, God got look, God loves. The trumpet has sounded. We must prepare for battle. Do you want to see this country destroyed? When the word of God is taken away, every single time the word of God was taken away in the Old Testament, destruction came. Destruction of families, destruction of the home, destruction of the economy. I've never seen the righteous forsake. This is no longer a righteous nation. We've been called to war, amen. Jeremiah 6 and 7, as I close, he says, also I set watchmen over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But it said, we will not hearken. We must fight, amen. Deuteronomy 31 and 6 says, be strong and of good courage. Do not fear nor be afraid of them, for the Lord your God, he is one who goes with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. You see, we have the best weapon that was ever given, the word of God. When you go out in the power and in the might of the Lord, and you do the power of God, church be a voice, that this church be a banner, Father God, that we might stand and proclaim your word. And Lord, we just ask that you just put it in your hearts of your people that they leave this place with this understanding. In Jesus' precious name, amen and amen. If you need prayer this morning, you may come. If you need salvation this morning,